couple weeks ago, I tried to tell you how to live. And then Rita talked to you about abide. And then today, I want to talk to you about choice. You don't want to miss next week. We're going to talk to you about forgive. But today, it's about choice. Choice. If you are in this house, if you are a part of this house, if you have been a part of this house even for a minute, you have access to the tools, to the instruction, to the encouragement, everything you need, you have access to make the right choices in your life to lead you out from poverty, from your past, from your pain, from your dysfunction junction to a new place, to a new season. You have access. If you're in this house, you have access to get out of where you are and get to a different place, a better place, a new place. You have access. Access is everything. Keys give you access. If you've ever gone somewhere and they change the locks on you, and all of a sudden your key that used to give you access, you pull it out of your pocket, you get it out, you put it in the lock, and it won't turn. And you're thinking, wrong key. And you go to another key that looks like that and say, well, I know that's it. And all of a sudden there's no access. And you have lost access to what you had access to before. Why? Because of some choices that you make. Keys give us access. Choices will make you or break you. And if you're in this house, you have access to the tools that you need to change your life. However, people come and sit in this house and other houses like this across the country with access, with everything they need to come out of where they are and go to the new place, a different place, a better place, a life-changing place, a life-giving place, and they make the wrong choice. Why would you do that? Why would you hear the right thing and get connected to the right people and have the right access to make your life a better life and then make the wrong choice? Why would anybody do that? Well, there are reasons. So I want to talk about choice just a little bit today. And it is a biblical thing, but we make choices every day. As a matter of fact, the average American makes at least 12 before 9 a.m. Now, these are not subconscious choices. These are conscious choices. One of the first ones you make every morning is whether or not you're going to get out of bed. Sometimes that's hard to make. As a matter of fact, some of the staff sent a text to Rita and me this morning and said, what time will you be here? And I sent a text back and said, we're not coming. We decide to sleep in. Well, that's what y'all do. I mean, if you decide to sleep in, who are you accountable to? Are you on Adam's team? Are you on Rob's team? Are you on Olivia's team? Are you on Jason's team? And it's just easy just to send a text. You're on the media team, you just send a text, I won't be there today. I decided to sleep in. I don't feel good. it's too cold, or the lake is calling me. Yeah, one of the most difficult decisions that we make every morning is whether or not we're going to get out of bed. And then you have to decide, are you going to take a shower or are you just going to go stinking? Are you going to eat or you're not going to eat? You're going to put on some clothes or you're not going to put on clothes? I mean, every morning you have to make decisions, you make choices, and the choices you make affect everything. You don't think they do. You only get one chance to make a first impression. Only one. And if you blow it, you blow it. You don't get a second chance. Or you might fix it, you might shore it up just a little bit. You might apologize, you might make it right, but you only get one chance to make a first impression. The average adult makes at least 70 decisions a day. And there's some cars in the body shop and in the junkyard right now because people made some bad decisions. Amen. Decisions. Some of the choices we make are minor. They really don't matter that much. They don't have lasting effects. I mean, if you had strawberries or peaches for breakfast, that really doesn't matter a lot. Or cereal. Or you're in a hurry, so you just waited till you got here and got a breakfast bar. And you got some coffee. Jason loves coffee. He drinks coffee all the time. You know what I'm going to say. But he told me he had to acquire a taste for it. I said, for me? If I have to acquire a taste for something, why would I drink it? Why would I eat it? Of course, he says he loves it now. But he had to acquire a taste for it. Now, I've heard people say that about beer. You beer drinkers, you had to acquire a taste for it. Somebody said I'm meddling now. Well, go back on my Facebook post a few days ago. I posted something Perry Stone put. Just go read that. Just go listen to that. That'll be good. That's all I'll say today. Choices. Choices shape your life. Choices will help you or hurt you. Choices will propel you into your destiny, or they will stop you dead in your tracks. Choices. The choices we make sometimes they confuse us. You ask them, why did you do that?
I don't know.
We don't even know why we do what we do. We do it because somebody's put pressure on us, peer pressure. I've heard people say, well, I didn't have another choice. I disagree. You always have a choice. Always. You always, 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 always have a choice. Now, I will admit that your choices always have consequences.
Yes, absolutely.
And some are worse than the others. We talked about, some people will say, I took the lesser of two evils. Sometimes you don't really have the choice you want, but you always have a choice. Some choices are routine, sometimes, or what do we call it with our autoimmune system or our auto system? Our unconscious self, you know, you don't have to think about your heart beating. If you do, you'd be in trouble because some of you would forget to have your heart beat. You forget so many other things, you'd forget, oh, heart, you need to beat a little bit. So God made some things just automatic. Breathing, Some of us, eating is automatic. I mean, we get up eating. I'm on a seafood diet. I eat all I see. We went to the coast a few days for a little vacation, and I love seafood, so I've just stayed on that seafood diet. But some things are automatic for us, but some things you have to make a conscious decision. And you have to weigh the consequences. You have to evaluate, is this a good decision or a bad decision? Is this going to help me? Is this going to hurt me? Because there are consequences to your decision. Now, God gave the first man and the first woman the power of choice. So we're just going to start in the first book, Genesis. Everybody say Genesis.
Genesis.
The word Genesis means beginning. And in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was clever. So let me just tell you right now, in case you've never read Genesis 3, read that first line. It says, the serpent was clever. And he hasn't changed. He's still clever. He's dumb as a rock, but he's clever. He doesn't realize that he's going to lose. But he's still clever. And he spoke to the woman, Eve. In case you didn't know it, the devil talks to folk. He started off talking to the first woman, and he will come and talk to you. Oh, yeah. He will talk to you. I'm sure you've heard the story about the guy that said he had an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other shoulder. And somebody said, which one wins? And the answer is the one that you feed the most. If you feed the devil, you feed the demons, they're going to grow and get strong and overpower you. But you are not a victim of your circumstances. You are an individual with the power of choice, and you have to decide for yourself. Choice. So the serpent was clever, and he spoke to the woman, and he will speak to you. He will talk to you. He will lie to you. If he's talking, he's lying. You ever met somebody like that? If they're talking, they're lying. If they're awake, they're lying. That's the devil. If he's talking, he's lying, and he will talk to you. He will try to convince you. He will tell you lies. He wants to get you off track. John 10 tells us that he is a thief, and he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's his agenda, to kill, to steal, to destroy. So he's talking, and he'll keep talking if you keep listening. And so he spoke to the woman, he spoke to Eve, and he said, do I understand? See, he's fixing to twist it right here.
Yeah.
Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? Lie number one. Twisting it. Turning it. Trying to manipulate her. So that's what the devil says to Eve. Do I understand God told you not to eat from any of these trees in this garden? Look at all these beautiful trees. This garden is full of trees. All of them are good for food. And God's so mean. Isn't he a mean God? He told you, you couldn't eat from any of these trees. Mean God. And the woman said to the serpent, oh, not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God says, don't eat from it. Don't even touch it, or you'll die. So if we read that verse and understand it clearly, she had clear understanding not to eat from that one tree, right? Am I interpreting that correctly? She knew. She knew. She wasn't deceived. See, we like to say that the devil deceived her. Her words, as you'll see in a moment, are, the devil seduced me. That serpent, he seduced me. No, no, no. Right here, she spells it out herself. God said, we can have all these trees but this one. Don't eat from it. Don't even touch it. If you touch it, you'll die. So she was clear. Right? She was clear. Let's read on. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. Lie number two. You won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. As a matter of fact, you'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. So now he's lying to her again, so he can manipulate her, so he can control her. God knows that the moment you eat, you'll see what's really going on. So now she's thinking, God was not telling me the truth. She's going to believe the devil over God. And I know you're thinking, well, I would never do that. But isn't that just what we do? We have this book full of God's word that tells us who we are in him. It tells us, just like the song they sang a moment ago, how powerful, what words in a song, that he is a mountain mover, he is a chain breaker, he is a giant killer. My God. And yet we listen to the devil. I'm sick. I'm going to die. Got these problems. I'm broke. I'm going to live in poverty. Nobody loves me. My past is holding me down. All this dysfunction junction, it's all over me. I can't live. And we don't believe what the Bible says. Either we believe it or we do. Either we do or we don't. You know, sooner or later, we have to accept it as truth and go on. Amen. Or stay where you are. Because I opened up this message by saying, you have access to the truth, to tools, to the word, to inspiration, to music, to encouragement. If you are a part of this house, you have access to everything you need to go to the next level, and then the next level, and then the next level, and then the next level. But it's your choice. So the serpent's talking to the woman. He says, God knows the moment that you eat from that tree, you'll know what's really going on. You'll be just like God. You'll know everything, even good and evil. So the woman's thinking now, and she saw the tree. She starts looking, and she saw that this tree looked like it was good eating. It was good for food, the Bible says. And she realized what she would get out of it. She'd know everything. So she took it and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate it. Like the choice was made, the decision was made that changed everything without weighing the consequences of what God had said. Everything changed. And when you know what is right and you know what you should do and you make the wrong choice anyway, you are the one that suffers the consequences. But let me help you. It goes beyond you. The decisions that you make, the choices you make, not only affect you, but they will affect your spouse. They will affect your children. They could affect your church. They could affect your job. They could affect where you live. They could affect how long you live. The choices you make don't just affect you, they affect everybody in your world. And for some people, they affect the whole world. Choices are very, 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 very important. So immediately, the Bible says, the two of them did see what's really going on. Oh, their eyes are open. They realize good and evil. They saw themselves naked. Before that, they were innocent. They just loved God. They were just happy to be there, living in the garden, living in paradise, eating all the fruit from all the trees in the garden, just sustained life, blessed, highly favored, everything great. All of a sudden, boom, one decision, one choice, one meal, One bite changed everything. And they saw themselves. They realized they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. Oh, we got to cover ourselves. Look at us. No, don't look at us. Oh. Cover ourselves. Hide. Because they were ashamed. It is quiet up in here now. I'm just reading the Bible. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God. And God called to the man, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid." This verse is where fear is introduced to the world. Before this, man was not afraid. We didn't need to be afraid. We didn't have to be afraid. God had placed man in a garden, a paradise, and he was going to take care of him. And he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, plenish the earth." But at this point, because of his choice, fear entered into the human race. And consequently, his choice, his decision, has affected all of us. And all of us have some fears in our life. There are things that people are afraid of. There are things that we are afraid of, that we allow to come on us and get in us and become part of our DNA. That's why he said, "Don't be afraid," or "Fear not," 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year, because he knew that we needed to not be afraid. God says, "Where are you?" "I hid myself," the man said, "because I was naked. I was afraid." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Because if you didn't eat from that tree, you wouldn't know. Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from?" I love this part. The man said, That woman that you gave me as a companion, it's her fault and your fault, God, because you gave her to me. And it's that woman that you gave me. She gave me fruit from the tree, and yes, shucks, I ate it, God. I did. And God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And here's her answer. "The serpent seduced me," she said, "and I ate." It was his fault. It's his fault. Why is it that we always want to blame somebody else for our choice? I mean, it was bad enough that she ate. He didn't have to eat. But he made the same bad choice. He wanted to blame her and God. She wanted to blame the serpent. And we've been blaming Adam and Eve ever since. Yet we continue to make bad choices. But we want to blame Adam. It's his fault. So God threw them out of the garden. I guess they got what they deserved, didn't they? Oh, but we've been paying the price ever since. Wow, there's a lot of preaching in this. God has given us, you, me, the power of choice. You have the power of choice. You have the power of choice. You have the power of choice, and there is always a choice for you to make. Deuteronomy 30, I love this verse. God says, "Today, I'm giving you a choice." Everybody say choice. Choice. Today, God says, "I am giving you a choice. You can choose life or death. The first choice will bring a blessing. The other choice will bring a curse. Doesn't seem like it's too difficult which to choose, is it? And then God even tells us, so choose life. Then you and your children will live. You must love the Lord your God and obey Him. Never leave Him because He is your life. So God says, life and death, blessing and cursing, make a choice. But I'm going to give you a hint. Choose life. Choose life. Oh, and yet people will choose death over and over and over again. It does not make sense. But God gave us the opportunity, the power of choice. And the choices we make reveal our true identity. The choices you make tell a story about you. I'm sorry. You can choose life or death. You can choose good or evil. You can choose to bless people and help people. You can choose to believe this book or not believe this book. If you live by this book, I promise your life will be better than you ever imagined. You will be blessed and highly favored. You will walk in favor. Your life will just get better and better and better and better if you live by this book. If it becomes your daily guide. But you can't just, read a couple pages one time and say one little prayer and then go on without growing. Because growth is a part of the process of your choice. But choices reveal our true identity. Here's what it says in Proverbs 1. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction that I offered. And when they cry for help, it's like God saying, here's what you did. And because you did this, when you cry for help, I will not answer. Oh. God's not going to answer. And though they anxiously search for me, God says, they will not find me. Why? Why would God say that? Why would this loving God, who loves us so much, who gives us choices, who even tells us the choices to choose, why would He say this? He says, because you've hated knowledge and you chose not to fear the Lord. But this is a better answer in Psalm 119. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands, God. Don't be like the first one. Don't reject what God says. Obey. Choose life. Because you have the power of choice. And choice begins with your thought process. Oh, here we go again. Thinking. You're going to think. Everybody's thinking. Some of you are making your grocery list right now. Some of you are thinking about where you're going to lunch. Some of you can't wait to get on the lake. And all that's fine. You're going to think. Why not think God's way? Why not think Bible thoughts? He tells us how we ought to think. Choice begins with your thought process. I love this verse. This is a verse that you can build your life on. This verse. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned. And if you'll do that, he says, then the God of peace will be with you. So here's what we think about. Things that are lovely and pure and just and righteous. Think about those things. Let those be the thoughts. Things that are excellent. Things that are of God. Things that are righteous. Things that are found in this book. Think that way. Let your thought processes be thoughts that are good thoughts. You're going to think. Think good thoughts. You're going to think big. Why waste your thoughts on things that will pull you down, on negative thoughts? Think on good things, he said in Philippians. And because here's what happens in your thought process. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words, because so many times we say what we're thinking. even though everything that goes across your mind should not come out of your mouth. Our thoughts become our words. Our words become our actions. Our actions become our habits. Our habits become our values, and our values become our destiny. It's a process. It's a cycle. So what you think is very, very, very important. The choices you make are very, very, very important. And the right choice can change your future. I'll say it again. The right choices will change your future, will change your destiny. And I'll say this again. If you are in this house, if you've only been here a minute, you have access to everything you need to change your destiny for the better, to change your future for the better. Joshua 24 said this, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me, I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, if you're part of my house, as for me and my house, we have made a decision. We will serve the Lord, period. That's the way it is in my house. If you're part of my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to love God. We're going to do right. We're going to treat folks right. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will do things the biblical way. Period. No negotiation. And see, that's where a lot of folks go wrong. They want to know their options. The devil came to Eve and said, let me get this straight now. Do I understand that you can't eat from any of these trees? Oh, no, we can have all of them except for this one. Oh, well, mean old God doesn't want you to eat from that tree because he knows as soon as you do, you're going to be like him. So she entertains the conversation with the devil. That's where she went wrong. She should have shut him down right then and said, get behind me, Satan. Deuteronomy 7. Remember that the Lord your God is the only God, and you can trust him. Yes, you can. He keeps his agreement, his covenant. He shows his love and kindness to all people who love him and obey his commands. He continues to show his love and kindness through 1,000 generations. You can trust him. Choice, not chance, determines your destiny. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Let me just sum it up. Prepare yourself to make the right choice. You're in this house, you're preparing yourself. You hear the word that is taught in here on a regular basis, you are preparing yourself. Filter your preferences beforehand. Too many mistakes in the heat of the moment because people, they wait until they are offered a negotiation with the devil to decide. That's the wrong time to decide. Let me explain. If you're an alcoholic and you've decided, I'm going to quit, you decide when you're in your right mind, in your prayer closet, at home, on your face before God, or in a place like this, when people are praying with you, you make up your decision, I'm done. You don't decide when you are sitting in front of the liquor store deciding whether or not you're going to go in. You've already lost that battle. It's too late. You don't decide in the face of temptation. You decide before the temptation comes, the choice that you're going to make. I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now. Evaluate the outcome. There are always consequences. There are always ramifications to every decision that you make. So get somebody to mentor you. Find some wise counsel. Process with somebody. Don't process by yourself. If you have a history of making bad choices, then don't do it by yourself. Find somebody to talk to. There is wisdom in a multitude of counselors, the Bible says. The power of choice is a reality, but you need to talk to somebody, evaluate, process with somebody. And then follow through with the right choice, the best choice. Be accountable to somebody. Accountability is always the right choice. Listen to the Holy Spirit and be accountable to somebody so you can walk through the decision together and make the right choice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. Choice. 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 Choices are important. They're essential. The right choice will propel you into your destiny. The wrong choice will get you off course, off track, maybe even to the point that you never get it turned around. And see, that's where so many of us will listen to the devil. Oh, we just made a misstep. I'll fix it later. And we keep going in the wrong direction, getting further away from our destiny, thinking that we can get back on track anytime. Oh, I can quit this anytime. Really? Oh, good for you. Choice. Father, I thank you so much for every person here. I thank you, Lord, for the choices that you give us, that we are individuals of choice, that we can make choices, we are free moral agents, that you don't force us to do anything. You just give us the opportunity to choose. And we thank you for that. But I thank you, Lord, even more that you give us wisdom and good sense to make the right choice, not to keep making the wrong choices over and over, to keep lapping the same mountains and doing the same things, expecting a different result. So, Lord, help us to access today the keys, the tools, your word, to access it and make the right choice. To do it now. To do it now, first of all, regarding our relationship with you, and then about all the other choices in our life. We trust you, Lord, to lead us and to guide us. And I pray for every person here. I pray that you would minister to every person in this room. We just plead the blood of Jesus right now over every person, Father. And let these words that we've spoken and these scriptures that we've shared today get in our spirit. Let it become a part of who we are, our spiritual DNA, so that we do make right choices, Lord. Lord, we've all made bad choices. But I pray, God, that you would help us not to keep making bad choices, but to change, to make a conscious decision to change and make right choices, to follow you, to obey your word, and to follow you and to follow others that are following you. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Lord, help us to find mentors and those that will help disciple us. And then as we grow, help us to disciple somebody else and to mentor somebody else, because we are stronger together. We know that two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken, and that we are better when we do life together because we need each other. So Lord, help us day by day. Help us to please you. In the name of Jesus, we make a conscious decision now to follow you, to worship you. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name.